Radio Corporation of America presents The Magic Key. Magic key turns, and the family of RCA, whose members include RCA Victor, RCA Communications, Radio Marine, and the National Broadcasting Company, unite to present over the nationwide NBC Blue Network a full hour of distinguished entertainment featuring Ezio Pinza, star of the Metropolitan Opera, Max Reinhardt, famed director of stage and screen production, Anya Dorfman, talented Russian pianist, Doc Rockwell, famous comedian, Le Petit Mircea, European child singer and a broadcast from Milan, Italy, Fats Waller and his Victor Recording Orchestra, and Frank Black and the NBC Symphony Orchestra opening this afternoon's program with the Polonaise Militaire by Chopin. Thank you.
Early this spring, American radio listeners heard for the first time the sensational 10-year-old Romanian boy singer known as Lupti Mircea. His voice is clear and youthful, and he exercises control over it that is remarkable in one so young. So stirred were his American listeners that they have repeatedly requested another performance of this remarkable European boy. So the magic key turns again to Lupti Mircea, this time singing in Milan, Italy.
Now I will sing for you, Titti. L'amour d'une peur éternelle.
We now return you to the Magic Key of New York.
A month ago, Anya Dorfman, brilliant young Russian pianist, made her debut in America at a concert in New York City. With a musical background from Europe that includes extensive training at the Paris Conservatoire and appearances with symphony orchestras conducted by Mengelberg, Sir Thomas Beecham, Sir Henry Wood, and Issei Dobrovain, it is little wonder that New York critics hailed with enthusiasm Miss Dorfman's first American performance. This afternoon, Miss Dorfman makes another debut as the Magic Key turns and she gives her first radio performance in this country. Miss Anya Dorfman. Miss Dorfman has chosen for her first selection this afternoon three écossais by Chopin, Opus 72. Dorfman turns again to the works of Chopin, this time to the famous waltzes. She plays for us now the waltz in A-flat, Opus 42. Thank you.
Tomorrow night in New York City, 3,000 people will witness the world premiere of the most stupendous undertaking in the history of the American theater when the curtain rises on Max Reinhardt's Eternal Road. This great spectacle of Mr. Reinhardt's cost $500,000, contains 36 of the most elaborate stage sets ever constructed, and utilizes the services of 250 performers. Not since Max Reinhardt's history-making show, The Miracle, has there been such wide interest in one of his presentations. The Eternal Road will introduce many important innovations in stage technique to New York audiences. RCA Photophone engineers, working with Mr. Reinhardt and his associates, have contributed a new development to this production which promises to revolutionize certain phases of stage technique. We have persuaded Mr. Reinhardt to tell the nationwide audience of the Magic Key program something more about the Eternal Road. The Magic Key turns to Max Reinhardt.
I am speaking from my hotel room after a night rehearsing the Eternal Road. In 5 minutes, I am due back at the Manhattan Opera House. 400 people are waiting for my return. The cast is on stage, ready to start all over again. The stagehands are poised for the next change of scenes. The lighting men are listening for their cues. A rehearsal is ready to start. Everyone is there but myself. I am sure that you will forgive me if I rush back without further formality. Let me only tell you one word. My work in America, in Hollywood, and in New York, has convinced me of the abundance of dramatic and musical talent of the first order in American youth. They have genius and the energy and vitality to bring their gifts to the completest realization. To them and to all of you, my best wishes for a happy and interesting 1937. But I must rush. Goodbye and thank you.
From the musical score of The Eternal Road, written by Kurt Weill, the German composer, Frank Black has chosen excerpts which will be played by the NBC Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
Because of the many exclusive features offered by RCA Victor in its 1937 radios, features such as the magic eye, magic brain, magic voice, and metal tubes, many people think the price of these sets is higher than that of ordinary receiving sets. This is not true. You'll discover you pay no premium to own a genuine RCA Victor 1937 radio. Although RCA Victor sets are built by the only organization that makes everything in radio, the Radio Corporation of America, and therefore bring you the benefits of RCA's unparalleled experimental facilities and resources, an RCA Victor radio or radio phonograph combination costs no more. RCA Victor prices begin at $20, and there are 28 models costing less than $100. Convenient terms can be arranged. Remember, it costs you nothing extra to have an RCA Victor radio and enjoy reception that is RCA all the way from microphone to receiver.
The Magic Key, unlocking a world of entertainment, featuring Max Reinhardt, Ezio Pinzer, Anya Dorfman, Doc Rockwell, Le Petit Mirsche, Fats Waller and his Victor Recording Orchestra, and Frank Black and the NBC Symphony Orchestra, presented for your interest and pleasure by the members of the family of RCA, the Radio Corporation of America.
Frequent use of the word versatile has robbed it of its true significance. But when it is placed before the name of Fats Waller, well, versatile really means versatile then. For the genial Fats seems to have taken the whole world of music in quick stride. Fats Waller writes songs like I've Got a Feeling I'm Foolin', arranges them for his orchestra, conduct the orchestra from his piano, and then, just for good measure, sing them with a style that is distinctly his own. Through motion pictures, the stage, radio, and Victor recordings, he and his orchestra have become one of the most widely known bands in the country. The Magic Key turns to Fats Waller and his Victor Recording Orchestra, playing first, Hallelujah, Things Look Rosy.
Disappearing, the crowds are cheering, things look rosy now. Let us be thankful and start in smiling, although we had forgotten how. Let's all sing hallelujah, hallelujah, cause things look rosy now. Swing it on out that song. Yeah, yeah.
And now, in the inimitable Waller manner, A Thousand Dreams of You, a number Fats recently recorded for Victor. A Thousand Dreams.
Together, yes, together. You thrilled me from the start. You brought the spring again. Your fingers touched the strings of my heart and made it sing again.
Yes, sir.
I hope You'll dream a thousand dreams of me, of things we planned doing together. You know we promised to do together, don't you? Well, all right then. Well, if you do, I'll dream my whole life through. Ta-da! A thousand, a million, a zillion dreams of you. Yeah, give it your honor.
While New Year's is being hailed with joy and enthusiasm from all quarters, we thought it'd be interesting to get Doc Rockwell down here from his hideaway in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, and see what his New Year's plans are. But instead of reaching out for bigger and better things, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, he's dragging along that same old rocking chair of his. The whole thing is just a big joke, although the Doc pretends to be serious and claim it is on the level. But here he is, Doc Rockwell, and if you please, Rockwell.
Gentlemen, the new broom sweeps clean, but the old one contains the most vitamins. And as I sit down here this afternoon in this old rocking chair, I sit down here with a purpose, and that is to explode all this rubbish and poppycock about New Year's resolutions. Why should you, why should we, why should anyone go through a lot of torture and self-infliction, cutting out this and that, getting ready for the future? Because when the future arrives, you may not be here. Why should you cut out coffee, for instance? Why cut out coffee, figuring that it'll keep you awake nights, when it's a rule the majority of people are having a hard time to keep awake daytimes right now? And another thing, why cut out smoking? As a matter of fact, smoking is really beneficial, and I'll tell you why. Do you realize that when you have anything the matter, any trouble with your lungs, it's caused by germs or bacteria getting in there and eating the lining of your lungs? So that when you smoke, you automatically destroy the lining of the lungs, leaving nothing for these germs to feed on, and they starve to death. Now you can see right there, why play and worry about New Year's with a lot of resolutions when you can figure out each problem as you come to it by rocking? That's how I answer, right in this rocking chair, all the hundreds and thousands of questions that keep coming to me and all the time, either by mail or on the phone. Just a minute, there's one of them right now. Hello? Mr. Buck? Oh, I see, the man with all the animals, yes. You say the elephant was found dead this morning. Uh-huh. Well, wait a minute, Mr. Buck, I'll rock and figure it out. I've got it, Mr. Buck. You explained that last night the electricity went off for a minute and you had the elephant hold a candle in his trunk when it came on. Yes, and another candle in its tail. Well, that's what killed him, Mr. Buck. He was burning the candle at both ends. All right, you're welcome. Oh, there you are, folks. Now, getting back to this New Year's resolution thing, all this monkey business, all this waste of energy and self-torture probably started back centuries ago when Adam and Eve stepped out in the Garden of Eden and turned over a new leaf. And today, all that thing goes along the same way. Anytime you see an ambitious man trying to set the world afire, there's a man who is making New Year's resolution. But is the sacrifice worth it? Is it worth going through all these things? After all, this man that does this sort of a thing, what does he get in the end after developing his brain, his efficiency, and so forth, so that he can make $1 million? He ends up with a stomach that won't digest a piece of mince pie. And I'll tell you right now, there's no use. Ambition is nothing. Take my advice and forget it right now. All this busy bee stuff about working hard and industry pays in the long run winds up with nothing at all. It's a lot of baloney, folks. Well, look at the bees in this country that toiled all last summer and saved up honey. What good did it do them? No good at all. The farmers sold the honey, and they're down in Florida or out in California, and the bees are trying to pull through the winter up here north and eke out an existence out of a lot of old machine oil out of crankcases. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to show you how any situation in the world, no matter what it is, always works out by rocking. It's been used thousands of years ago, and I'm going to tell you a little story, an old fairy tale, the Griddle Cake Princess. Once upon a time, many, many years ago, there was a wicked, cruel old queen who was drinking all the time, always intoxicated, and was known as Mary Queen of Scotch. Now, this old queen was the homeliest, worst-looking old virago you ever saw in your life. She had her face lifted time after time. She had it lifted so many times that finally her mouth was up under her hat. And you can realize how inconvenient that was any time she happened to be invited out to dinner. She had to carry somebody along in order to blow her coffee. Now then, the wicked old queen, this cruel old queen, had a very, very beautiful daughter by the name of Princess M. Now, Princess M was the most beautiful princess in the world, so beautiful that when any man looked at her, he immediately fell in love with her. But the princess didn't care anything in the world about men. She was crazy about griddle cakes. And to show you how mean and cruel this wicked old queen was, she ordered that her own daughter would be beheaded if she was ever caught either talking to a man or eating griddle cakes. Now, there's the situation. There's the picture as it was. Now, let's go ahead. One day, the queen goes away to spend the day on business in another city. The castle is left all alone. When what happens but a traveling salesman, a demonstrator, comes around to the castle demonstrating a new kind of pancake flour. He rings the bell. The princess listens to the story. She presses the buzzer. The door opens, and the salesman walks into the castle. Well, sir, it's no time before they've mixed up a batter for griddle cakes, poured it on the griddle. They've already cooked on one side. They've just turned them open. When the princess happens to look out of the window, and what does she see but her mother unexpectedly returning to the castle? My heavens, here she's in a problem. What will she do? What can she do? She suddenly tells the whole story of the salesman, and he is true chivalrous. He gulps down the half-cooked grill cakes, slips into the closet, closes the door, while the princess sits down in a rocking chair and pretends to be reading a book just as she hears her mother coming in the door downstairs. But she hears another sound and listens again. What is it? It's coming from the closet where the salesman is hidden. She listens, and folks, he has developed the hiccups. And she realizes right then and there that he can't hide from the old queen. What will she do? But don't forget, don't worry. Remember, she is sitting in a rocking chair. She just rocks back and forth two or three times, and the whole thing is as clear as day. She realizes now that the salesman has gulped down those griddle cakes that were only cooked on one side, and that's what causes the hiccups. His stomach is trying to turn them over. So instantly, what does she do? She pulls the salesman out of the closet, puts him in a rocking chair, rocks him two or three times, turns the griddle cakes over. He's back in the closet, and the griddle cakes save the day. Now, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. There's the thing in a nutshell. And don't forget, there are only 363 more days left in 1937 for you to rock. Rock and relax. So stand by at this time, ready to set your calendars for the correct date. The next sound that you hear coming from the rocking chair, it will be exactly January the 3rd. There you are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, one and all. Goodbye. And don't forget, you are listening to the voice of Asparagus, who wishes he could have figured out a better finish. Thank you.
It is the tenors who usually receive the spotlight in operatic performances. But Ezio Pinza has proved that the bass voice, with perfect technique, can be as flexible as the tenor. And time again, it is he who commands the spotlight and a major share of the applause in his performances at the Metropolitan Opera in New York City. From his first appearance in Rome at the Teatro Reale dell'Opera, through engagements at Turin and at La Scala in Milan, to his success at the Metropolitan, Pinza has been acclaimed by critics as a basso cantante without peer. Next Saturday afternoon, January 9th, Ezio Pinza will be heard as Escamillo in the opera Carmen, which will be presented in its entirety over this same NBC Blue Network by the Radio Corporation of America. The magic key of RCA turns to Ezio Pinza. Pinza sings the aria "De la rigueur" from La Juive by Halévy.
De la that he'll walk to Le Pardo, to la clémence, mon Dieu.
Mr. Pinza sings now Se Vuol Ballare from Mozart's opera The Marriage of Figaro.
Se vuol ballare, signor contino, se vuol ballare, signor contino, il chitarrino le suonerò, il chitarrino le suonerò, sì. Le suonerò, sì, le suonerò. Se vuol venire nella mia scuola, la capriola le insegnerò. Se vuol venire nella mia scuola, la capriola
Le ne seigneur aussi. Saprò, ma piano. Piano. Meglio ogni arcano dissimulando scoprir potrò. L'arte schermendo, l'arte adoprando, di qua fungendo, di là scherzando, tutte le macchine rovescerò. L'arte schermendo, l'arte adoprando, di qua fungendo, di là scherzando, tutte le macchine rovescerò. Ballare, signor Contino, se vuol ballare, signor Contino, il chitarrino le suonerò, il chitarrino le suonerò, sì, le suonerò, sì, le suonerò.
For his concluding number, Mr. Pinzer has chosen an old love song arranged by A. Walter Kramer, Mr. Edwin MacArthur at the piano. Radio sets for your home. Broadcasting and transmission equipment for radio stations. Two national radio networks. Facilities for sending and receiving your radio messages to and from 47 foreign countries and a dozen American cities. Equipment for recording sound motion pictures, phonograph records, phonographs. These are but some of the services the Radio Corporation of America provides for you through the resources, experience, and research facilities of the family of RCA, RCA Victor, RCA Communications, Radio Marine, and the National Broadcasting Company. No matter what your radio need, for every service in radio, use RCA. Selections which you have just heard, played by Frank Black and the NBC Symphony Orchestra, was the Gypsy Dance from Bizet's opera Carmen. Next Sunday afternoon, the members of the family of RCA invite you to tune into the Blue Network of NBC when the Magic Key will again turn to present another full hour of entertainment, an hour that will feature Tallulah Bankhead, glamorous star of stage and screen, Carl Kress, and Dick McDonough, accomplished swing guitarists, the internationally famous Budapest University Chorus, Buck and Bubbles, who have just returned from the European tour, and Frank Black and the NBC Symphony Orchestra. This is Ben Grauer and Milton Cross speaking for one member of the family of RCA, the National Broadcasting Company.